Hi, Amherst Eclectic, back for our third installment of the Take Care Down There UTI podcast, which, again, never thought I would have this much information about UTIs and infections, but we are talking about them. I looked up a few articles, and I found information on them, and I just wanted to make sure I shared that information with you guys because it's important to know what to eat, what not to eat, health-wise, why UTIs are caused, symptom-wise, action-wise, why UTIs are caused, because it is primarily related to sexual activity for both men and women for the reason they're getting UTIs. And, you know, I love it when people don't really like to talk about the fact that they have a UTI because they know that. They know that, you know, that's why you get a UTI 9 times out of 10. Now, it's not the only reason you get a UTI. That was the other thing I wanted to focus on, too, was, you know, it could be that you're not changing your underwear enough. You're not, putting on clean underwear. You're not keeping yourself clean down there. You're not taking care down there. You're not taking no showers. You're not, you know, whatever. You're not staying clean, because what happens with UTIs is when it's wet and nasty and dirty in your private areas, that's where that bacteria likes to multiply. And if your feces mixes with your urine in your underwear, or if you're having sex and you're using your hands to play with each other in their private areas, the bacteria that's on your hands, you can get E. coli, you can get other kinds of bacteria on your hands if you haven't washed your hands properly or cleaned your nails properly. That can be caught up inside your nails, or in your skin, in your fingers, or in between your fingers, if you haven't washed in between your fingers. I mean, we can go really technical here. Bacteria is on your skin. There's all kinds of bacteria that's always on your skin, but bad bacteria can be washed off, right? You can kill bad bacteria. They figured out ways to do that. So you have to be really careful. And the other subject that I forgot to bring up is when you wash your clothes. And this was something else that was pointed out. I've seen this on a couple shows. There's two things that you shouldn't wash with your other clothes if you're not going to throw extra liquids into the wash that are going to kill bacteria. Your socks. Socks are sweaty and nasty most times. And if you're going to be putting your socks in with the rest of your clothes, guess what? If you don't put something in there that's going to effectively kill the bacteria from your sweat on your feet, and some people have athlete's feet, right? Because, you know, they're not killing the bacteria that's in their socks. And then even if you wash stuff in with your clothes, with your socks, and with your underwear, which we'll get into the bacteria on that as well, that bacteria goes throughout your wash, especially if you're just washing cold, not using hot water, because hot water tends to kill bacteria as well, but it doesn't totally kill it because, you know, you have your whole bunch of wash in there, and sometimes things don't get hit the way that they should be with soap and hot water. But anyway, if you have nasty underwear with feces and urine on it, and then you have nasty socks and workout gear, or anything that you've sweated on, like highly sweated on, bacteria starts to form on those surfaces of that clothing, and it multiplies. And now you're throwing in your jeans, you're throwing in your bras, whatever, you know, you're throwing in your favorite shirt. That bacteria is getting all over your clothes, from your socks, from your underwear, from your workout gear. And because if you've let your workout gear sit in your gym bag, your whole gym bag now has that bacteria all over it. So everything you touch in your gym bag has that bacteria. So your hands now have that bacteria on it. And so when you go to the bathroom and you wipe yourself with toilet paper, even that bacteria is probably going to transfer, and it may go and it may get on your underwear and it may go up your urethra. Oh my God, all the things, right? And I'm not trying to make people like germaphobes, but you just have to be careful, right? Like, it can happen that, you know, that it's spread that way. So when you then take your wash and you throw it in the dryer, there's still bacteria on it. Like, some of that might still survive, particularly if, ladies, you don't throw your underwear into a washer and then into a dryer. You wash it in a sink and you wash it all together. Now, oh, look, all those bacteria are transferring over to your other underwear or your bras, and then you hang it to dry. Well, you're not really doing anything that's killing that bacteria except a little bit of soap. And, oh, what is it? The delicate soap? So, yeah, if you throw your wash all together, there's bacteria getting spread to all the rest of your clothes, right? If you throw your stuff in the gym bag. Anyway, so what it was suggested to me to do was to put a little bit of bleach in every wash, right? Or a little bit of vinegar. Now, you don't want to mix bleach and vinegar, because when you mix bleach and vinegar, it produces a gas that if you inhale it, it will kill you. So don't put those together. But either you put vinegar in your wash, you know, you can put a cap full or a cap, they say a cap full of bleach, and then like a cap off the bleach thing, like a little bit of bleach. But I put, like, if I have the top off of my detergent, I will fill that halfway up with bleach. And what I do, there are washers where you can put the bleach in and it'll let the bleach out after the water's totally gone into the washer. But I don't like the risk, the machine screwing that up. So when the water's running and initially when you're starting the washer, I will take a half cap detergent, you know, the cap off the top of your detergent, and I will fill it up with bleach, and then I will I put it in where the water's running in when you first initially, you know, start your washer. I will let it run for a few minutes. I'll put the detergent in, then I'll put the bleach in, and I'll put the cap full of bleach right under the water so that it dilutes it and it goes out into the wash. And I've even done that with an all black wash. I put bleach in. There was one time, there was a sweater that had, a friend of mine had mildew on it because it had been sitting somewhere and it got in the basement and it got moisture on it. That's, you don't store your clothes in the basement. But anyway, and she was trying to figure out how to get rid of it. And I told her, give it to me. And what I did is I put it in the wash with, you know, other clothes. I didn't put it in alone. But you can do that. It was a black and white striped, like big stripes, you know, big black and white striped sweater. And I put it in there with the half cup of bleach with all the rest of the clothes that I had. And it had like mildew stains on it. It didn't smell like mildew anymore. She had washed it a few times, but it had mildew stains all over it. And of course you couldn't see it in the black stripes, but you could see it on the white stripes. And I washed it, I think it was 2 or 3 times in different washes, and it came out, killed the mildew, and it came off the sweater, and she was just amazed. So that shows you how powerful a half cap of bleach in your wash can be. It took mildew stains off of her sweater that didn't even smell like mildew anymore because she'd washed it so many times. But I did it in 2 or 3 washes. I got it off the sweater. Totally. You wouldn't have never known it had mildew stains on it in those white areas. So a half cap of bleach in your wash is pretty effective to kill bacteria on something like, you know, underwear, socks. I found it pretty effective. And you can get scented bleaches as well. So if you don't want things to smell like bleach, there are bleaches that have pleasant scents to them that you can use. So that's one option. Option 2, I was told, that works. And this also works, vinegar. This also works if you have, like, people have, if you've had a cat pee on your clothes. For some reason, your cat, you know, is sick. That's the only thing, that's the only reason cats do stuff like that, is they're not feeling well and they're trying to tell you that they don't feel well because they can't talk to you. So don't get mad at a cat for doing that. It's just because they're not feeling well. But same thing with dogs. If a dog pees on something or any kind of odor that gets in your clothing that you can't get out, one of the mildew's one of them, you can use vinegar. And you can, like, put, I usually put a whole cap of vinegar. Like, I take the detergent cap, and you can measure. I, you know, there's things online that'll tell you how much vinegar you can put in a wash. I think half a cup of vinegar in the wash is what you're supposed to do each time until the smell comes out. But I put like I put a whole cap of, off the top of your detergent thing, that cap that you use, I put a whole cap of vinegar in there. And again, I run it under the water while the water's coming in. So it doesn't, you don't want vinegar coming in direct contact with your clothes. So you, same thing with bleach. You don't want it coming in direct contact with your clothes. So I'll put it whilst the water's running in, and you don't mix bleach and vinegar in the same load at all. You can do one load where you use bleach, let a total wash go through a whole total wash cycle, and then you can wash the same clothes again and use bleach, use vinegar, but never ever use bleach and vinegar together. But apparently vinegar gets out odors, and it also kills bacteria, and that's why it gets out the odors, right? Because the odor is a bacteria. So that, and it's really good to getting out mildew smells. And sometimes you might have to wash things several times in several different washes to get the mildew stain out. But vinegar apparently helps to do that as well, because it's killing the mildew. Okay, so vinegar is a good way to kill the bacteria in your underwear and in your socks and any workout gear. And then the third thing they said was mouthwash. Like your run-of-the-mill mouthwash. It's, you know, it's killing bacteria in your mouth and things like that. Same thing. I've tried that. Again, I use like a half a cap to a cap, run under the water, and it has worked. It's not as good as using bleach or vinegar, but mouthwash does help. And then apparently that kills bacteria in socks and underwear as well. I would just, you know, it's cheaper just to use vinegar or bleach. Vinegar is actually the cheapest, because vinegar is the cheapest thing you can buy. Bleach is the next cheapest thing you can buy. And then mouthwash are three things that you can use in your wash to kill that bacteria. Because what they're saying is that the bacteria stays in your underwear, stays in your socks. So people who have athlete's foot, that's a good suggestion right there. You know, if you sweat a lot, your feet sweat a lot, it's a good idea to throw one of those three things into the wash along with your detergent to kill the bacteria in your underwear, your socks, your gym clothes. Because then, you know, you're putting your socks back on and there's still bacteria in there. It may only be a few, but as soon as your feet start sweating and you're in your at work for 8 hours, all that bacteria is starting to multiply. And that's why you've got athlete's foot. Same thing with your shoes. You need to clean those out as well. And I actually have done this. You mix, I don't know, I think it's like 1/4 vinegar in a spray bottle to 3/4 water. And I've done this and it's worked. And you shake that up, and every night you take your shoes and you spray them with that solution, 1/4 vinegar, 3/4 water, shake it together. And you spray inside your shoes and you just let that, you know, open them up, pull the laces out, make sure you're pulling up the tongue of your shoes and everything so that it can dry by the morning. It kills the bacteria in your shoes, and it works. It's crazy, but it works. And I've used that on my gym shoes. I've used it in boots because your boots are zipping them up and you're basically sweating legs and everything in there sometimes. So yeah, you can spray that in. And I've never tried this, but it just came to me. I've never thought about this, but you could probably spray your underwear with that too before you throw it into the hamper or whatever. Spray your underwear with vinegar, let them hang out. Put them on hang them somewhere on a hanger or something, let it dry overnight, and then you can throw that in the wash. And at least if you're having a really bad problem with a bacteria in your underwear or having UTIs over and over again, that's, I don't think it's too extreme to do that either. Spray your underwear with them and also your workout gear, And it's always good with your workout gear to not just throw it in a hamper, but either hang it up to dry because you have sweat all over your workout gear. Hang it up to dry and or throw it right in the wash when you get home and just wash it on a small cycle, very small cycle just for your, sometimes your workout gear, you want to just wash it and hang it up real quick. But I always my big thing to people is if you got bacteria, you want to wash and dry something. So make sure you buy stuff that you can wash and dry because that dryer will help to kill a lot of that bacteria too. The heat of that dryer will just kill things. So I make it a point to buy clothing that I can wash and dry so that there's not a lot of bacteria in it. But again, if you're going to throw your socks and your underwear in with your regular wash, it's good to use, bleach, vinegar, or mouthwash in your wash. But you can also do the spray thing with the quarter vinegar and the th 3/4 water and spray it on stuff to kill bacteria. It works. I was surprised. And that's also something you can use, that same spray, balance spray. You can use to, like, if a cat pees somewhere, they tell you you spray it with that same mixture, a fourth vinegar and 3/4 water, and spray it on your carpet or your furniture or wherever they've peed because you don't want them to go back there and pee again. Or if a dog's peed somewhere on the floor, clean it up and then spray it with that vinegar and water. And apparently it kills the smell and they won't go back there. I mean, you have to keep doing it. You have to keep doing it on a regular basis to get that smell to go away. But yeah, it apparently works because I've tried it when I had a cat pee in a quarter one time on a carpet, and I had to get rid of that smell, and it worked. And now I don't have carpets because carpets are kind of a dirty, disgusting thing to have in your house. That's a whole other subject. I had a carpet guy tell me that. He said, carpets are actually really dirty because think about that, the padding's underneath and you've got this carpet on it. You never get it clean. There's no way to get carpeting clean. Once dirt's there, you're never totally going to get it clean. So carpeting is like a disgusting thing to have in your house. He said the best thing to do is, he makes a living putting people's carpets down, but he says the best thing to do is have some sort of linoleum floor or hardwood floors or just nothing, no carpet, anything but carpet. And he says it's something you can mop or clean or sweep or whatever, but you can disinfect on a regular basis because carpeting is disgusting. And I was like, you know what? He's right. And that was when I got rid of all the carpeting in my house. I just got rid of it. And I think I was pulling up that carpet for a reason. I called for advice, and that's when he told me just to get rid of it, Okay. So let's go back to the article here. This was the Arkansas urology article that I was reading already earlier, and we ended off with, according to most research, the pH balance of urine is a large factor of how hospitable the urinary tract is, right? And bacteria causes a UTI because of your diet, basically. A healthy pH is often a high one that allows the bad bacteria blocking compound cetirizine to do its job effectively. Polyphenols, a type of antioxidant, also help this blocking process starting all the way back in the digestive system. So The bacteria blocking compound is spelled SIDEROCALAIN. So that's the word that I probably just butchered. But foods and drinks high in antioxidants with a slight acidic taste can help keep everything in check. These foods include cranberries. Yeah, I listed all these before. Same things. Cranberries, blueberries, oranges, dark chocolate, unsweetened probiotic yogurt, tomatoes, broccoli, and spinach. That was when I was really surprised. Broccoli and spinach. Like, these are foods I eat all that stuff. Dark chocolate, I eat oranges, I eat blueberries, cranberries, tomatoes. I eat all this. Smart drink choices are decaffeinated coffee. Cranberries, because they say caffeinated coffee actually can help cause a UTI. Caffeine does not help UTIs. It just makes them worse. Decaffeinated coffee, cranberry, blueberry, or pomegranate juices, and black and green tea, which I think we mentioned that before. Of course, plenty of water is essential when fighting off a UTI. And they really emphasize drinking lots of water, because the more water you drink, the more you pee, and the more that flushes out the bacteria. So you're making it inhospitable for that bacteria to stay in your digestive system. Because, you know, water is going to go through your kidneys, your bladder, right? So you're making it a hard place for these bacteria to survive if you're constantly flushing your system out with water. So, you're basically washing it out. While a healthy diet of antioxidant-rich foods is important and can help relieve UTIs, if your symptoms last longer than a week or two, you should contact your urologist right away. UTIs left unchecked can spread into the kidneys and become chronic and much more difficult to treat. So that's why the antibiotics are given to you. And that's why it takes so long, that, you know, sometimes people have to go back and get more antibiotics, because, you know, it's really into those folds of the bladder and into the kidneys. And it's probably gone out throughout their body and it's hidden somewhere. And, you know, you have to hammer and hammer and hammer at that bacteria to get rid of it. And antibiotics are the only way to do it. I mean, if you've gone to the point where you're taking antibiotics, you're in a bad place, you know? So you want to make sure that you try to avoid to get something like a UTI, because it's hard to get rid of once you've got it. I also see on this picture, one of the foods was watermelon. Huh, they didn't mention that. They're showing a picture in the article with a watermelon and hearts cut out of the watermelon with blueberries in it and spinach leaves and blackberries. There's blackberries on here and raspberries. So those are probably two other, well, you know, they're fruits, they're high in acid. You know, I'm sure pineapple is probably even anything that's got acid in it, because pineapple's got acid in it. So those were the articles I found that talked about urinary tract infections. I think we'd already talked about the Harvard article that I found that talked about urinary tract infections in another article. So, you know, I just wanted to bring up those points and the things that I had remembered, because I thought, well, you know, I kind of just breezed over UTIs, and there's a lot more to say about it. And about keeping, you're not just keeping yourself clean before, during, and after sex, and also keeping your sex toys clean, and keeping your hands clean and your body clean, and speaking about how, you know, sex workers will make the people they're going to be servicing take a shower before they will have anything to do with them, because you don't know where people have been before they come in there. So, you know, you have to be smart about what you're doing, because, you know, that's, you think about that. That's, you know, you're swapping spit and you're swapping, you know, private area juices, and, you know, and the sex organs are near or part of urination and fecal matter, you know? And I mean, the worst thing that you can get is E. coli in a food, you know, because people aren't washing their hands properly that work at the restaurant or whatever. And, you know, then everybody gets sick from that, and that can kill you. And it can also shut down a restaurant if they've got those kind of infections because somebody didn't wash their hands and keep themselves clean, right? So, you don't want to be messing with, you know, not keeping yourself clean. So the most important thing you can do is take a shower. That's, you know, another reason why a lot of bacterias and a lot of things spread in homeless communities because they can't take a shower. They can't stay clean. And so those things just multiply. So that's why when servicing homeless communities, they provide showers and they provide washing their clothes on a daily basis. And they provide, you know, steaming their shoes and cleaning their shoes out because of the bacteria that starts in it, because they know that once that stuff takes off, it can get worse. I mean, you know, if you don't wash your clothes sometimes and you don't keep clean, there's lice and all kinds of other things that can happen. So, you know, keeping clean is paramount when you're trying to stave off all kinds of things, you know, from nasty lice bugs to fleas to, you know, they're talking about how in homeless communities, diseases that they thought were stamped out are coming back. They're coming back because people are homeless and they're, you know, there's rats and mice and, you know, and that's it's getting spread. I forget what was the bubonic plague is they're finding the bubonic plague out in forest now because apparently the vermin out in the forest are bringing back the bubonic plague. That's scary. And so the bubonic plague is being brought into, you know, rats into the city, and it's being brought into the homeless communities. And not just homeless communities, but all the way up into people's houses that are very wealthy because they have mice or rats that get in. So you have to be really careful about so many things. When it comes to UTI, it's really easy. Balance your diet, get your pH balanced with the proper foods, and just keep yourself clean and keep your underwear clean and your socks clean. And, you know, like I said, for years, I've put a half a cup of bleach into every rot wash load I do, color or not. You know, don't let people lead you to believe that you can't put bleach in your colors because you can. You just have to be careful about it when you're doing it. You know, run it under the water so it's diluted and it's not going to bleach your clothing. But it does help to, you know, take out stains of your clothing too. You know, so it's killing bacteria and it's taking out stains of your clothes. So be really, really careful about what you do during sex. Be really, really careful about how you're keeping your clothes clean. Change your underwear, people. Change your underwear, you know, not just every day, but change your underwear two or three times a day. You know, you buy a bunch of underwear so that you can do that. And ladies, don't buy the underwear that has like that's nylon or polyester because that holds on to moisture. You know, they may have a cotton panel in there. It's still going to hold the moisture there. You're just the cotton panel is just going to get wet and nasty, and that's going to make it worse for you. Just wear cotton underwear if you have problems with UTIs or to keep from having problems with UTIs. And when you get out of the shower and you've cleaned yourself, air yourself out literally before you put anything on. And we're talking down there too, men and women. Air yourself out. So back, because wetness just creates bacteria. So you want to make sure that your private areas are aired out. So hopefully I've given you enough information to help you avoid UTIs and then shine a little light on how sexual behavior can make that a problem for you. And you can't have sex when you have a UTI. They tell you not to have sex for like a week or two after because you can still transmit it. So there's your information. I hope it's helped. And this has been Amherst Eclectic. See you on the next podcast.